Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Our next guest is a survivor. In 1975, Luang Ung was just 5 years old, living with her family in the Cambodian capital Phnom Penh, where her dad worked in the government. That year, the communist Khmer Rouge regime came to power. The regime emptied the capital, putting families like Ung's into labor camps, where they were forced to work the fields and were beaten, tortured, some of them starved. The Khmer Rouge killed almost 2 million Cambodians, including Ung's parents, two of her sisters, and 20 other relatives. But Ung and four of her siblings managed to escape. She eventually made her way to Vermont as a refugee, and she wrote about her experiences in her 2000 memoir titled First They Killed My Father. Now, together with actress and director Angelina Jolie, they've turned her powerful story into a new Netflix original film of that same title. Ung is an activist and best-selling author, and she's in town to speak at Rosie's Place. She joins us in studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Great to be here.
So what was it like for you to work on this project and to bring back those emotions and experiences from when you were such a little girl and things were so traumatic?
I went into it very fearful. I was very afraid that was going to relive the trauma, that it was going to be very, very difficult to stand still and be in that space. So I actually started working out. I wanted to be strong. I wanted to be physically strong because I felt so powerless during the war. And the four, almost 5 months I was in Cambodia working on the film, and I was on the set pretty much every day, the question of strength wasn't an issue. For me, it was the scenes of beauty, of tenderness, of joy, of family, of just the very first scene of my family sitting together, all nine of us around a table having dinner, while the mother served my character food and the father's drinking wine. And those scenes were so much more difficult because you can't prepare yourself for the missing. It is very hard to see that because you realize how much you missed and how much you wish they were still there, and how much beauty still exists, and it exists during those times, and how much I missed that. Mm. And so for me, those were much harder to do and much more heartbreaking. Mm. But it was also redemptive and spiritual because in that one scene, I almost felt as if my family came back to life. As if for that moment, in that scene, in that space, we were together again, sitting around a dinner table and just being a part of a family.
You were so young when that happened, and it was remarkable to watch the film and to see the young actress who plays you in the film sort of express a lot of the emotions that must have been going on, the confusion and uncertainty about why you were going and where you were going. What were you thinking at the time? Do you remember?
I was young, too young to understand the politics. I was too young to understand the mechanics and the policies of the Khmer Rouge. But I understood very well my parents' love. I understood very well the expressions on my father's faces when he couldn't protect us. I understood very well my mother's tears when my father was taken from us and then she had to send us away. And so for me, I think as a child growing up in Cambodia, you live very much in your body. And so you are, as an adult, I think sometimes I have a tendency as a writer also to float off in your head and in your mind. And if you're in a situation that's difficult, uncomfortable, traumatic, you can just escape your head, escape your mind. But when you're surviving in a genocide, in a war, in a trauma, you cannot escape your head. You have to be there. You can't leave your mind because you need your mind in order to take care of your body and to protect yourself. Otherwise, you die. Right. And so I was very, very aware of trying to be conscious and trying to be aware and trying to be observant and trying to really just look around my environment. And this is probably the reason I was able to capture so much of my life onto pages, into my diary, onto the pages, because I had to really pay attention in order to live.
Yeah, you always had to be on the lookout for how you might be hurt, or how you might get out of a difficult situation. That's an amazing skill, though, to learn at the age of five. And what does that do to your psyche?
Yes, I it's my belief that a writer writes and a published writer gets his or her work published for various reasons. And so I think genetically and DNA-wise, I've always been a very observant person. I'm very curious about the world. I love looking and watching and learning and studying. And so that helped me be able to be aware of my surrounding to survive. But it also meant that the memories were imprinted in such a way into my brain that even had I wanted to forget them, I couldn't. And therefore, the memories came back, whether it's in my memories or in the loud explosions of every 4th of July fireworks, or whether it is in the hums of a mother's song as I walk by a park, or the laughter of a father playing with his or her son or daughter, that are always often bring me back and triggering war memories.
Right. We actually have a clip from the movie here. This is the moment when two soldiers come for your father, two Khmer Rouge soldiers come, and they tell him that they need his help. And here is the scene where he is walking away with him. And the actress who plays you in the movie is calling out. Let's listen. This was such an incredible scene. In the movie, was that must have been incredibly difficult for you to help with, right?
Yes, it was difficult to help with. It was difficult to remember. It was difficult to write about, and it's difficult now to hear it. I'm emotional again, and I'm trying not to, trying not to just completely break. And every time I hear it, I'm brought back to that place. Thankfully, we shot the film surrounded by so much love, so much humanity, so much care, and were led by a wonderful director, Angelina Jolie, and wonderful producer, Rithi Pan, and surrounded by so much care. Everybody who worked on the movie were themselves either survivors or children of survivors. And so I knew that this wasn't just my story. It was a story of Cambodia. It was a story of many of us. And in many ways, it's also a story of the world. It just didn't just happen to Cambodia, this crime against humanity, genocide and war crimes. This hurt all of us. I'm just very grateful to be part of a wonderful collaboration in telling the story on film.
You know, tell us about your mother, too, because I know the movie is certainly titled after, taking your father. But your mother, really, her strength in this movie and what she did to make sure that her children could survive is really amazing.
Yeah. And that's why I was so grateful and happy to be at Rosie's place today. I was there giving a talk at an annual fundraising event because my mother had a strength and a courage about her that I did not understand, recognize, value, or even saw growing up during the war. All I saw during the war, when the soldiers came for my father, was her pain. I saw her heartbreaks. I saw her pain. I saw her suffering. And that was so traumatic that I got to a place as an adult where I kind of forgot about her beauty. I forgot about her strength. And it wasn't until I was working for 3 years at a domestic violence shelter in Maine where I saw the courage and beauty of a mother, a mother's heart, a mother's strength, a mother's courage, and whatever a mother had to do to keep her children safe. And I'm so grateful to be able to see that as an adult, because my mother was the bravest and strongest woman I will ever know. I didn't know this as a child. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't fathom it. But could you imagine having to send off your young children into the war zone, not knowing if they would live or be killed or hurt or tortured or if you would ever see them again, but knowing that you had to do it, because if you don't and the soldiers came for you, they would take all of you together. And so in order to give us a fighting chance to live, she separated all of us and pushed us out and away from her.
Right. Right. That's just incredible. You were sent at one point to a camp where you were to be trained as a child soldier, and that involved doing work such as planting landmines, which you eventually realized in the movie were what they were. You didn't even understand when you were doing it, and that's become part of your life's work, hasn't it? Sort of trying to eliminate landmines. Is that a way, do you think, that you try to make amends for that?
I have always wanted to redeem myself. And understanding that my survival, in some way, I feel a lot of guilt for it. What I did, how I survived, and writing, working to ban landmines, working to end violence against women, even just my attempts and my daily consciousness to be a better person, to be a kind, decent human being, no matter what happened in my life, where I go, what I do, I'm very aware that I want to be a decent human being. I want to be somebody who cares. I want to be someone who takes actions. I want to be someone who is constantly aware that we do have power to make a difference. But in order to make a difference, we have to act. And so whatever in our capacity or abilities as human beings, and for me, it's writing and working on the Landmines campaign. But for others, it's being a student, being a journalist, being a writer, being a mother, being a good friend, being a chef, being a cook, being somebody who makes beer, whatever it is in our lives that we can do to make a difference. It is our obligations and a responsibility to do it.
You know, this is a story of, you know, a lot of different things. The resilience of a young child, which is just remarkable, and your resilience. And also, you know, a film about, you know, using the story of war really to tell a story of love, right? Where did the resilience and that positive attitude, how does it come out of all that tragedy?
I'm so grateful, again, to be a woman living to be at this age in life, so I've learned a lot. I remember when Pol Pot died in 1998, in his last interview, he talked a lot about what he did for love. And I wanted to negate that. I wanted to write a different story of love, that love does not a genocide make, that love does not kill close to 2 million people out of a population of 7 million people. That love, real love, consists of compassion and humanity and gentleness. And I wanted to write the story of love that takes place in the midst of war in order to honor my parents. And I think for me, my resilience have been my ability to realize that I didn't get here alone, that wherever I fell, however much hard I fall, there have been always somebody, past, present, in my mind, in my heart, in our community, who have been there to help give me that helping hand to stand up. And I've been grateful for that. And those are the stories of love that I want to tell.
Wang Yung is author, activist, and co-writer of the film First They Killed My Father. She did the film with Angelina Jolie, and it's now streaming on Netflix. Wang, thanks so much for coming in.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.